out there over pieces calling, in the bonds of love we meet, for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. My interviews are done in the studio of Planet FM or via Zoom. Today I've invited Brother Kieran Fenn to a Zoom recording for a broadcast. Brother Kieran, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Kia ora, Beate.
Brother Kieran Fenn is a Champagne brother and Bible scholar. He is originally from Gisborne and has spent many years in adult education, teaching scripture in New Zealand and abroad. And he's come to many Muffin Talks, and so those of you who listen to Muffin Talk regularly will know him. And as you know, our church here is focusing on a different gospel every year. The current year is dedicated to the gospel according to Mark. With the major feast days of the Catholic Church, or of the church here behind us, Brother Kieran is starting a new Monday series in which we will prepare us for the next church year, which is going to start after the Feast of Christ the King in November. The gospel of the new church here is the gospel according to Luke. Brother Kieran will present a series of six sessions, each focusing on a different topic that is characteristic for the Lucan gospel. One of the characteristics is the topic of joy, which fits very well to a Titiponamu study in joy. Brother Kieran, how come that this is the gospel of joy?
Well, I think it's kind of a weaving of three things. Joy, and if you have joy, you want to give praise, and it is very helpful to have peace. So this sort of trilogy, but the gospel begins, the message of the angels at the birth of Jesus, tidings of great joy. Peace on earth among those who are God's friends. There's delight and celebration of God's work in history with the birth of Jesus. There are 20 references to joy in this gospel, and 10 of them actually occur in the big travel narrative, the journey narrative from chapter 9 to chapter 19 in the Gospel of Luke. And that's the journey to Jerusalem. Now, the connection, of course, peace flows from joy. The angels give glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those who are God's friends. Glory to God in the highest. Without peace on those with whom God is pleased. Peace is the goal of the mission of the 70 disciples. When you enter a house, when they're out on mission, and you actually are to say, when you enter the house, peace be to this house. Peace for flowing out of mission. And the risen Christ, of course, greets his disciples with the gift of peace. So this gospel was born amid shouts of praise. The birth of the Baptist called forth joy and gladness and rejoicing, especially for poor old mum, but she must have thought at times, how am I going to look after this child when he gets into his teen years? So yes, now at Jesus' birth, the angels praise God. Simeon and Anna praise God and with joy in their hearts when they see the child. So the graced praise God in all circumstances of life. This gospel is rather beautiful when you think of our times and the need for joy and praise and peace. You think of all those people in the past who prayed for the moment the arrival of the Messiah, and those now who through this beautiful gospel can give thanks with joy and praise and peace, because this is an incredible gospel, really. It is a great year. Let's celebrate it with joy.
But it's also nice that you started with the tidings of great joy. Isn't that one of the quotes that is said from Samuel Marston when he when he celebrated the first mass Anglican service, Anglican mass in Marston Point, isn't it?
Yes. And of course, the gospel does say, rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. So that again is a joyful end, final message to give through the gospel, right? So, yes,
Jesus
it is a joyful
often
gospel.
Says, peace be with you when he enters the houses. That's right.
Oh, yes. So that's, it really is a beautiful weaving of themes around this joy.
So it's gospel of joy. But Brother Kieran, I understand that the gospel of Mark, which is our current year of Mark, is the shortest gospel, whereas the gospel of Luke, I think, is the longest gospel, or
It is really. But, you know, when you combine it with Acts of the Apostles.
Yeah, that's it,
you actually have a quarter of the volume of the New Testament.
So the Gospel of Luke includes the Acts of the Apostles. Can you tell us more about this relationship of the Gospel of Luke to the Acts of the Apostles?
Well, you know, even this morning, honestly, you can always learn something new, because I was looking at some food quarrels that take place in the Gospel of Luke, and I suddenly remembered, oh my goodness, Peter and the hamper coming down and the big debate on clean and unclean food. I thought, wow, it's in both Luke and Acts. And you see, it's a historical issue that, you see, when Luke and Acts, they were intended to be as one volume. And then history broke up Luke and Acts and put the Gospel of John in between. And for a long time, Luke was only seen as one of the synoptic Gospels. Like in a parallel, gospel parallel of the three texts side by side can be for comparison.
Brother Kieran, can you just say only one explanation about the synoptic and the parallel gospels, just in case somebody doesn't know about it?
Well, Mark is the first gospel. It's the central gospel. And Matthew and Luke both used Mark. And when you put the three gospels together, you can tell which parts of Mark are used and how they changed at times to give the focus of the particular gospel writer. And these synoptic gospels, the fact that you can put the three together, that's why they're called seen together with the eyes.
Yeah, okay.
So now the real focus of study, and it really goes back to a man called Henry Cadbury, who wrote a book on the making of Luke Acts. And Luke Acts is his term, which we now use all the time. But that book was 1927 and still very interesting. But look, both books start with the prologue and the dedication to Theophilus, right?
Yes.
And Theophilus, of course, means a lover of God. He could be Luke's patron, because one thing about Luke is he tells great stories and he would be an entertaining speaker after you've had your meal. So, yes, and journeys, honestly, journeys are all over the place in the gospel. Jesus is even journeying in his mother's womb before he's born with the visitation. And then, of course, think of all the Peter journeys, and then Luke journeys, and then Paul. Paul journeys everywhere, right? So, yes, and then you have women. Now, see, we've already done the topic of women in the Gospel of Luke, Mary in the Gospel of Luke, a passion in the Gospel of Luke. But here, that topic, women in Acts of the Apostles, are very interesting. And Philippi, Corinth, we come across them. But also, of course, they permeate the Gospel of Luke. Because if he tells a story about a man, he'll tell a story about a woman. And yes, so that's another link. And then, of course, go on.
Why are they called the Acts, the Lucan Acts and Acts of the Apostles?
No New Testament work would have had its title written above it. So it's later creating the creation of the Bibles, putting them together, they name them. Because even the Gospels weren't named until the end of the second century. So, and Acts became a particular literary form, and we've only got the one in the New Testament, just like apocalypses and so on. But this one, the Acts, well, we called it the Acts of the Apostles. I think we could call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, and it'd be just as true. But the apostles, the only two that Peter and John get the start, and then we get Paul, and there's a little question mark over Paul because he doesn't fit the category that's given at the start of having been with the group since they were in Galilee and to be a witness to the resurrection. Well, Paul misses out on the first one. And it's only when you put Luke in a corner that he actually allows Paul to be called an apostle. So, yes, we've mentioned the Holy Spirit. Well, honestly, the Holy Spirit permeates the gospel and permeates as the inspiration in Acts of the Apostles. And incidentally, the Holy Spirit is given to Jesus at his baptism. Right? And then the Holy Spirit, of course, is given at the beginning of Acts of the Apostles on the assembled group and the women. We mustn't forget the women, right?
Yes.
So, yes, so the Spirit permeates both. And then, of course, again, another thing that I suddenly realized was, oh my goodness, Jesus begins his ministry with that sermon in his hometown, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And the Acts begins early on with the sermon of Peter at Pentecost. So that's just a few. And then, of course, the geography. Everything is moving in the Gospel of Luke to Jerusalem, the center of saving history. And then everything moves to Jerusalem. And then with Acts of the Apostles, it's from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, to Rome. So we have the tale of two cities, right? Jerusalem and Rome. So, yes, there's a great link there. And then, of course, the trials that take place. Jesus is tried on false accusations. Paul, at the end, is on trial and so on. And we even have a Herod turning up, right, in the trials.
Is it the same Herod? No, it's a different. It's a relative.
Different geographies.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, it's this false accusations are there for both Paul and for Jesus. So yes, it's a fascinating linking of the two, that the threads. Look, the church and Jesus himself. It's the life of Jesus and the living spirit in the church. And we see so much of the actions of Jesus that are tied up with the second book, found through characters that follow him and live out the resurrection and the spirit. So, yes, the two books were meant to be united.
So are the two books written in the same spirit or written both by Luke?
Both by Luke, and I would say he probably wrote the two of them. You know, it's in the late 80s. I would say a literary work like that would take a fair bit of work, so it would have taken time. But we place it in the late 80s.
Yes, and can you just repeat how much percentage was the Lucan Gospel, including the Acts of the Lucan Acts?
One quarter of the New Testament. One quarter is the work of Luke.
Yes, and Mark is the shortest, and yes. So the others have the other two.
Well, Matthew is pretty long, and so is John. But the interesting thing about sometimes is that the Gospels grew in time, because when you get to John's Gospel, you have that little line at table at the end about, "Rise, let us go hence," time to get up and go. And then we get another four chapters of table talk. And then the next thing we have, and then they got up and went and say, uh-oh, that was broken at one stage. And all these other beautiful reflections on Jesus at the Last Supper. I am the vine, you are the branches. All of that gets put in there. So there are structures in Gospels.
Yeah. And so back to Luke. So I mentioned earlier that each of the sessions in our series on Luke will have a special theme. Yes. So that's why they are all connected, but also stand alone. So, Brother Kieran, can you tell us what themes you have chosen for the series?
Well, I had a mental picture of, you know, long a time ago, the brothers used to make their own cords for around their satans. And they used to have a cotton block, you know, the sort of the spool.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's a bit like a big, large one of those, and you'd have nails, and then you'd have different coloured nails on each one, and you'd weave them together.
Oh.
Well, for the brothers, they were black, right? They were all black, but my image for the Gospel of Luke is all those colours being weaved together, right? Mm-hmm. And you get this glorious image of the multiple themes, but we can only take some, far more than I could possibly do. Well, for Luke, I've chosen a summary for the gospel itself. So we need to get to try and put all these coloured threads together.
Yes, so that you know it's one.
Well, so yes. And then, of course, hospitality. Now, that theme has come through very strongly, and it's come through the writing of Brendan Byrne, the Australian scholar, and his book on Luke is The Hospitality of God, and how the whole story is, do people accept Jesus or do they reject him? And you find that.
Yeah, and that fits very well to what we've had in the last weeks about the Eucharist and hospitality. So now we have hospitality in Luke.
Yes, so that's a great theme. Now, the other thing, of course, is you can't really look at Luke until you really see the theme of meals. I said there were 20 references to joy, but now there are 10 meals. And this is a meal culture, this world. It's the Greek world, the Gentile world, in which, you know, those who were the aristocratic, they would give meals, an honor shame. You know, it's the meal itself is a great social occasion, and there's always a guest speaker at the end. We sort of reflected on that earlier.
Yes.
So, this meals are an occasion for teaching, for social interaction, for honor, for shame, right? And then we've got the 10 meals, but these meals include things like hospitality, city banquets, it's the honor and the status of the patron being enhanced, and at the social level, they were a venue for entertainment, for teaching, for debate. In Luke, significant events and conversations take place in the meal context, the center of sociability and of conflict. And there are these meals, the 10 of them, they begin with the first meal is the banquet at Levi's house. And this is the one, of course, which is over this question of clean and unclean comes in. Your master dines with tax collectors. Then you have the dinner at the house of the Pharisees. And that's when you get this sinful woman gate crashes the party.
Well, can you tell that story quickly so that we just know?
Yes. Jesus is invited to the house of this Pharisee. And there seems to be a bit of they don't give him very good treatment, because the woman comes in and she's weeping. Everybody knows, oh, the sinful woman. If this man was a prophet, of course he'd know who this woman was. She's one of the sinners of the city. And it's her tears that wash Jesus' feet and her hair that dries his feet. And these basic issues of social hospitality were not given to Jesus when he arrived. So Jesus just assures this woman she has been forgiven.
And so the ritual, ritual would have been that his feet would have been washed and dried, but this was not done.
Yes, not done. No. So the basic rules of hospitality were neglected. So this was not a very happy scene. And then, of course, we have the feeding of the 5,000. Interestingly, Luke doesn't do what Mark and Matthew do, have two feedings. He just has the one. And, of course, this is the whole thing of the uniting of Jewish and Gentile Christianity. Remember how Tom took us to Thessalonica? And
yes.
In all these different houses, they were comfortable with different gospels being read. So, yes, so we're with Luke this year as Gentiles.
Yeah, that was the presentation with Thomas O'Loughlin, yes.
That's right, yes, that was great. And then, of course, what else? We have a noon meal at the house of the Pharisees where Jesus attacks them for the hypocrisy and so on. And then, of course, that's another meal. And then we have a Sabbath dinner at the house of a Pharisee. And that, of course, is when he tells that wonderful story about the Great Supper and how people had those invited didn't want to come. They gave all their reasons.
Yes.
And then the servants get sent out into the highways and the byways. And the highways would be the Jewish streets and lanes of the city would be the Jewish streets and lanes. Then out into the highways and the byways of that great Roman world to bring in all those Gentiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the way that Luke tells that story. Matthew tells it very differently. That's another meal. So, yes, we've got so many of these 10 meals.
Now we have the hospitality and the meals. What are the other themes?
Well, the other ones we've got... the other themes. Well, okay, meals. Well, we have all those meals in the first session. We got plenty of them. Don't forget the Last Supper and of course, Emmaus. We got all of those. Now, the other themes are utterly brilliant. I mean, there are so many of them. The riches and poverty. This gospel, well, who is the audience? They're probably about middle of the road, but they'd have plenty of money. And they have to be warned. After all, Jesus was born into a poor family. Two turtle doves or two pigeons were the offering of the poor on behalf of the mother.
That was
That was the story,
the temple.
The temple, that's right, presentation. And in Matthew talks about the beatitude of being poor in spirit. But Luke gets straight to the point and says, blessed are the poor, full stop, right? He meant the poor. And you that hunger now, in Luke, replaces you that hunger and thirst for righteousness. So the hungry and the poor are bluntly put before us. Now, the cause of the poor is in the hands of God. And we see some wonderful characters who are wealthy, like Zacchaeus, who has to come down from his tree and then has the conversion experience. We have the story of the unjust steward, which is an interesting one. Parables, the parables throughout Luke are brilliant. That's why two of our sessions have got to be on parables. Now, God takes up these courts of the poor. And then, of course, this is the gospel with the story of the rich fool, the guy who wants to build the bigger and bigger barns. So obviously it's a pretty important theme. Filling the hungry with good things and sending the rich away empty, that was on the lips of that little wonderful woman, Mary, in the Magnificat. Beautiful. So yes, and of course we always have to remember Guatemala in the 80s, the
yes.
military dictatorship that knew what that was saying and wouldn't allow it to be said publicly. So yes, Jesus dies between two poor people on the cross. So, yes, it's again beautiful. Two of the poor of the land, and he dies at the hands of the rich and powerful. So rich and poor are pretty strong themes there. Of course, the other great thing is this is the gospel of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus is eating all over the place, he's praying all over the place, and the Holy Spirit is all over the place throughout the gospel. So people are moved by the Holy Spirit. That begins the gospel. John the Baptist is moved by the Spirit from his mother's womb. Zechariah and Elizabeth, Simeon and Anna. The Spirit is prophetic in line with so many Old Testament figures. We've got the words of Mary that the angel says to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Jesus himself, bearer of the Spirit at his baptism. And while at prayer, he begins his ministry with the flaming words of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. And we have this to preach good news to the poor, present to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is the manifesto of Jesus, his action, his program of action throughout this gospel. And this gospel of prayer, we have Jesus. There are many examples of prayer. There are 8 more references to prayer in this gospel than the other gospels in terms of Jesus being at prayer.
Is that also where the Lord's Prayer comes from?
The version we pray is from Matthew, but the version that Luke has is a shorter version. It's obvious Matthew's modeled his version on the prayer of the Jewish people. Now, when does Jesus pray? As he was praying at his baptism, the Spirit descended upon him and the voice comes from heaven. He goes into the desert to pray before choosing his apostles. And that's an important moment. All the significant moments in Jesus' life, prayer accompanies them. Before he asked, who do people say that I am? He spends time in prayer. It happened as he was praying alone. The disciples were with him and he asked them, who do people say that I am? He prays and he's transfigured.
Yes.
The transfiguration. He's at prayer when the disciples ask him to teach them how to pray. The model.
So we have the hospitality, the meals, and the riches and poor, the rich and the poor, and
yes,
the prayer.
Yes.
Because we are coming to the end of the interview. What are the other themes?
Oh my goodness, honor we've looked at the parables, of course.
Parable.
Unique parables. The parables of compassion. The God proclaimed by Jesus is the God of compassion. And that, of course, is what we see. Oh, the widow of Nain is when he saw her, the widow, and with nothing left with the death of her son, he stirred his splagnus thigh, his stomach turns over at her plight. Compassion felt. This Jesus is so attractive, really, in the gospel.
Well, Brother Kieran, we are going to have interviews always on the Friday for the next Monday. So if anybody can only participate in some of the sessions, there will be a glimpse into the Monday session always on the Friday on the Muffin Talk, which is also then on the website. And that way people can get prepared and they can read the gospel according to Luke. And feel confident. So it starts on a Monday, the 6th of September, so this Monday, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And there will be this introduction, which is an overview, and that is a free session, but you still please register. And the following Mondays, from the 13th of September to the 11th of October, we'll go into more detail according to the themes of the evening. And thank you very much, Brother Kieran, and all the best. Please have a look at www.studyjoy.nz. Thank you.
Good night. Bye.
out there, oh, peace is calling.